This week's Madden Monday with Mark Madden of 105.9 The X and Trib Live here at Breakfast with Ben's talking about a Steeler victory. We haven't done a lot of that, but this was the kind of game that I think mapped out to be a Steelers win. I thought the Steelers would win. I thought it would stay under. It did. The way things played out, not very surprising, Mark, given the Saints as the opponent and sort of the game script that we saw going in. I got the impression from you, you kind of saw things going the same way for the Steelers this week.
Yeah, I just don't think New Orleans is a very good team. Neither are the Steelers, but the Steelers were at home. They got an emotional lift from having T.J. Watt back. I don't think he played. I thought he played well. I don't think he got the numbers, didn't get the stats. I mean, no sacks, one quarterback hit, but he creates so much chaos and fear for the other team. I mean, look at Highsmith. He had that much less attention. He got two sacks. The defense made some plays. They got some picks. They took the ball away, and I think a lot of that trickles down from T.J. Watt. That said, Tim, I don't think it's time to start printing playoff tickets. I don't think this was the relaunch of the season for the Steelers where they could make it meaningful, where they could win enough to even get in the race by the end, even to miss by a little bit. I just think it was two bad teams that played, and the home team won.
I agree on all fronts, honestly, Mark. I think that's 100% true, what you just laid out there. And I'm of the belief that what we saw from Watts, as far as influence goes, is, to your point, how it tangibly helped everybody else more than it necessarily was a direct result of what he did play to play. Like, I think he was good in containing Taysom Hill. I think he disrupted in the run game, getting in the offensive backfield. But I think it was sort of a rising tide raises all boats kind of thing.
Yeah, no question. He makes the whole defense better. I'm just happy he didn't get hurt again.
Yeah.
I don't know what the over-under is for T.J. Watt being injured and missing games again, but I'm sure he'll miss another game before the year's over. At least he's just in that stage of his career, even though he's not yet 30. But he made the defense better, no question about that. I like what KZ did. He got that pick. He gets to the ball. It's what he does. I thought that that Levi Wallace had his best game as a Steeler.
Agreed. Yeah, he was pretty good.
I thought Arthur Millette made that great play where he stripped that completion and it got waved incomplete. I mean, I think a lot of guys did a lot of good things on defense, but I think it trickles down from T.J. Watt's presence. That said, and I know we're going to talk about the offensive side of the ball, I thought Kenny Pickett was just rotten again.
He didn't do anything to impress. All he did was not make mistakes. He was a game manager.
And,
but
what did they do? Draft him in the first round to make him a game manager right away?
Yeah, I mean, I was underwhelmed. I don't want to be accepting of, well, he didn't turn the ball over. I mean, you can't look at him and try to turn him into Trent Dilfer when you don't have the 2,000 Ravens on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, and for the first time since he took the starting job, when he came in at halftime of that Jets game, week four, I said then, okay, he's in, now he has to stay in. Now I'm really wondering. I'm wondering, and not for the sake of winning more, because they can't win enough. But there's good experience, and then there's just plain old experience. And I'm not sure the experience Kenny Pickett's getting right now, the way they play. You know, and yeah, the game that's being called for him, but I you can only blame that so much. I'm not sure this experience is doing Kenny Pickett any good. I'm not sure it's helping with his development.
Well, you know, and I know how this is going to go, too, insofar as, you know, the Trubisky thing. Do you leave Pickett in there when you can go back to Trubisky if you want to? Or, geez, even Mason Rudolph, for crying out loud. But if they manage to beat Atlanta and beat Carolina in the way that they did today, beat the Colts in the way that they did today, Mike Tomlin will talk himself into thinking that they're in it, and he's going to have to choose between, are we winning enough to stick with the kid, or have we won enough to put us back in what I think is the edge of the race, so we're going to go back to Trubisky?
Well, no, I don't think they're going to go back to Trubisky or use Rudolph, barring injury, no matter what. I think they see Pickett as the guy, period. And maybe that's the right call. You know, I said when they put him in, again, to repeat, Once they put him in, you can't take him out, because it kind of, that's the one thing they could do that could kind of scar him, unless all this bad experience is scarring him. Because, Tim, he looks sloppy. He looks overwhelmed sometimes. So one thing that's really a giveaway for him not feeling the part is he gets out of the pocket and kind of panics, gets happy feet when he's protected. You know, he's feeling a rush that isn't there.
How many of those sacks do you think were on him?
I mean, not all of them, but a couple.
Yeah, I thought maybe one or two of the six.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's not the point. It's just, he's just not playing well or getting better.
Let's get to the other aspects of the...
I mean, Tim, would you pull him? I mean, what would your criteria be?
I wouldn't pull him yet. I certainly wouldn't pull him after finally winning. I certainly wouldn't pull him after a game where he didn't throw any interceptions. I think that potentially does some damage. Ask me again, though, after the Bengals come to town next week. I might have a different answer.
Yeah, although now everyone's going to cite that Bengal game as winnable because they're only 5-4 and you beat them there.
I think the Bengals win next week. I think where the Steelers fatten up their final record is the NFC South, and I don't know, maybe a win against the Browns and the Colts, something like that.
Tim, there are bloggers out there, the usual suspects, saying they could finish 10-7.
My God, 8 wins down the stretch in the back half of this? No, that's just ridiculous. Because
I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. I see people saying every single game they have left is winnable.
Because well, of course it is. That's the NFL. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but people are but Steeler fans are thinking, okay, like for example, Indianapolis is winnable. You know what they're thinking? Indianapolis, Pittsburgh's winnable.
Sure they are. Just like New Orleans was thinking that Pittsburgh game is winnable after we got our doors blown off by Baltimore. But I mean, like,
New Orleans is bad. I mean, for some of the good players they have on that roster, they're worse than I thought they would be.
And some of their good stats, they're bad. I was saying that on the pregame show. As you look at some of the stats, and you're like, this shouldn't be a 3-6 team. Then you watch them play, and you're like, this should be a 1-9 team. They're terrible.
Yeah. You know, Peter King picked them to have the best record in the NFC. They're not going to.
But, you know, to kind of go back to that point about every game being winnable, of course it is. It's the NFL. Any game is winnable because there's so much parity in the league. That's not a surprise to say that. For those people to believe it, though, as if it's going to manifest and the Steelers should win every game they could is just nuts.
Yeah, but like you said, it's a topsy-turvy league, Tim. Jeff Saturday's undefeated as a coach.
I didn't get to see 1 second of that game. I would have been fascinated to see how they won it. Did you get to catch it? Was it on the back half? Or?
Oh, no, Tim. I explicitly avoided that.
I mean, I can't imagine how badly the Raiders must have played or how fluky it should have or could have gone. I thought that was a for sure win for the Raiders, and that's saying something because the Raiders stink. Obviously, they stink if they're going to lose to that group.
Yeah, McDaniel, man.
I guess it's just Taylor because Taylor got the ball 22 times. I mean, that was pretty basic.
Yeah, but McDaniels, I mean, he's such a good offensive coordinator. He's such a bad head coach.
I'll say what you said, Mark. This is going to be the kind of team that's going to look at the Steeler game and say, hey, that's where we can at least get another one. It's going to be on Monday Night Football, too.
And you look at that division. Who knows what's going to happen in that division?
Oh, that division's a joke. But I do think the Titans have established themselves as the best team in that division. What'd you think of how that went down with the Vikings, your Kirk Cousins-led Vikings, coming back and beating the Bills?
Yeah, but okay. I mean, good for them, but it sucks because I thought if the Vikings like put together a season like this, that Cousins would carry his stats over from last year when they didn't make the playoffs, and he would be a legitimate MVP candidate, which is why I bet on him to win the MVP at plus 4,000. And his stats are just meh. I mean, if they end up going 15-2, maybe even if they're a little above meh, he has a chance. But I don't know. They've won 7 games now by less than a score, correct?
Yes, they have.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible because last year they were 6-8 in games decided by less than one score. But I look at the Bills, and they're 6-3, but they're, 0-2 in the division, right?
They're 0-2 in the division, correct.
I think they're going to make the playoffs, but aren't they in a little bit of trouble?
Oh, for sure. And I think they're losing their grip on even winning the division or certainly being a top seed. And they're going to have to – they're one of their biggest advantages is having home field in Buffalo and the snow and all that. And if that goes out the window, then they're just another AFC playoff team, especially if Josh Allen is playing compromised.
Yeah, and they're losing – you know, it's a dumb thing to say probably, but they're losing their mojo. I don't think they feel the part. I think Kansas City now, 7-2, I think they're the class of the AFC. I think Philadelphia is obviously still the class of the NFC. That would be my predicted and projected Super Bowl matchup right now. How about Juju got knocked out of the game? Boom, boom, out go the lights.
Yeah, he got knocked out. Actually, Mark, wanted to go back to the Steelers offense and what you saw from the running backs and Warren and Najee Harris.
Well, I think it's funny that people want to pick one. Maybe the 1-2 punch is the answer.
Oh, I definitely think so, because I don't think Najee has the stamina right now to carry the mail for the entire game, and Jaylen Warren is capable in a number two role. Let's just not overcast him, which I think Steelers fans want to do because they love the try guy story.
Well, I think Najee is being pushed by Warren. I think that's part of why he's running the ball better. I also want to note, though, that when the Steelers win a game and rush for over 200 yards like they did today, it promulgates the notion you can still win in this league with defense and running the ball, but you can't. You can beat New Orleans, but you're not going to, you know, post a winning record or make the playoffs or win the division or any of that fun stuff by playing primarily defense and by possessing the ball, running it, because it's just not that kind of league.
Did we see an effective residue of getting rid of Chase Claypool with more attention being paid offensively to George Pickens?
All I know is the Bears are 0-2 with Claypool, and he's hardly catching anything.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, how many catches did Pickens have today? Three?
Pickens had three catches. He also had two or three carries, one for a touchdown and another for 22 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see him being even more of a presence than that, don't you?
I do, but that might go back to Pickett, don't you think?
Yeah, I think he stinks. I mean, right now, I think he stinks. I haven't seen him make any discernible progress since he got in that Jets game. And I hear people saying that, you know, it's still Canada, it's still the game plan. I just hear all this crap where, you know, it's not his fault, but is he the only quarterback in history where he doesn't impact the winning or losing and he's just a bystander? It's the most important position in football.
That's the narrative that people want to sell themselves because I think they want to believe he's going to get better, but that's all it is hope. I mean, there's no tangible evidence that he's going to be worthy of a first-round pick right now. It's just you hope, and that's where I was when they took him in the first place. Just hope.
And I'm not saying give up on him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying draft another quarterback. I think that would be foolhardy.
Mark, what have you thought about the Penguins the last three outings?
I am not unhappy with going 2 wins and an overtime loss in 3 road games. I thought that the Montreal game was winnable. They surrendered 3 leads. You know, it kept giving it back. One lead only lasted... what was it? One was 50 seconds, one was 40 seconds. It's a game they should have won, but still 5 points out of 6 on the road. That ain't bad.
Yeah, it's a big picture, then little picture kind of thing. Big picture, you're happy with the net results. Little picture, it was another opportunity to get back one of those points that they didn't get when they're in that crappy losing streak.
Yeah, I'm not – here's the things I didn't like about the road trip. One was Sid was a little quiet. He only had the 2 assists. Another was Jari, I thought, played bad in Montreal. You know, he allowed a couple shaky goals, made some good saves too, but allowed 5 goals. That's just too many. And then after the game, he said he'd been playing hurt more or less. Sullivan said he ain't been playing hurt. DeSmith got those 2 straight starts before that. I wonder how things are between Sullivan and Jari.
Where did that start? I guess it must have started in that Boston game, right?
I guess so. I don't know.
Because he didn't play great in that game. After that, I don't know if there was an attachable loss to him. It seems like ever since then, they've been leaning more towards DeSmith. And I get it, every now and then they use DeSmith in an extra start to goose Jari, but this whole am I playing hurt thing or not? I'm wondering why that's such a rub for Sullivan.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If Sullivan thinks he's putting heat on Jarry by playing DeSmith those two games in a row, Jarry knows that he's better than DeSmith. You know what? Jarry knows he's the number one goalie, even if he's not being used per se right now like the number one goalie. So nobody's throwing a scare into anybody. If that's Sullivan's MO, and I don't understand why he would want to do that. I don't think Jarry's played badly, do you?
No, I'm trying to think back to that Boston game. I guess it's the same category of, well, you had a lead and five goals is just too many, even if the goals that are being shot behind you were of quality chances for the opposition.
Oh, no, five goals is just too many, period.
Yeah.
You know, there's no debating that. I mean, and you know, like Petrie played that 2-on-1 in overtime awful. You know what I mean? That was just a sloppy game. Especially considering that they played so well with the lead against Toronto and managed the lead so precisely with zone time. I mean, they got to manage the lead better. They did it so well in Toronto, and it just mangled it in Montreal. But then again, the two games in two nights thing, that's a factor as well.
Mark, what do you think of the Leafs?
I don't know what to think of the Leafs. I mean, I think that's a real good team up front. I think they're shaky in goal, not great in the back. There's so much pressure there that we can't even imagine it. I love Matthews. I think he's one of the best players in the league. I think Marner's overrated. I think Tavares is primarily past it, although he's off to a good start. I like Nylander. I think it's a real good team, but the Penguins, you know, when you lose seven games in a row like the Penguins did, you can't then go up and down, up and down, up and down. You need to put together a run of a lot of wins against very few losses. Because when you lose seven games to them, you could spend the whole season making up for that.
And maybe getting Matt Murray rusty and just coming back from his injury will help.
Yeah, unless he stones him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, which I guess could happen. I don't know. I mean, I was not a fan of that move from a Toronto point of view. I think that's putting a lot of eggs in that basket, if you know what I mean, because that basket tends to not hold up, and he's already been injured to start.
I'm amazed at how, you know, the Leafs are this close to being a cup contender, and they can't get a goalie. The Edmonton Oilers
can't get a goalie or aren't trying to get a goalie.
Have the best 1-2 punch in hockey, and they can't get a goalie. There aren't many goalies to get them. You got Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Sorokin, the Russian in the island, you know, New York Islanders coming through. I think that Ottinger with Dallas is pretty good, and keep going. I mean, you know, the guy in Calgary, he's Andre the Giant. That's what he is. Demko in Vancouver is not doing anything. I mean, it's a weird time for goalies. There's a lot of okay ones.
I think the marginalization of goalies across the league has kind of created almost an NFL effect for hockey where it's anybody's league.
Yeah, maybe, but then doesn't that give the teams with the big-time goalies a pronounced advantage?
You'd think. It's just a matter of do they take advantage of it when it comes their way, or are you just so overwhelmingly talented like the Avs were last year that it doesn't matter?
See, that's why I really like the Rangers, because I think the Rangers have a potential cup-winning goalie. They got a great player up front in Panarin along with some other guys. They got a great defenseman in Fox, and I bet they get Patrick Kane.
Finally, Mark, with G-Man Choi on the Pirates now, do you see them winning the World Series or just, you know, getting to the NLCS?
I wrote a column for the Trib, which you may have seen. I'm amazed at the overreaction to getting him by the usual Pirate stooges.
He's just another version of Vogelback. He's just another guy to get so you get more prospects. The lying to yourself publicly thing that Pirates Twitter does and Pirates blogosphere does, do they just do it for themselves, Mark? Or, like, are there people out there that are actively seeking the lie, do you think?
I think people actively seek the lie. But, I mean, the dude hit .233 with 11 home runs. I mean, he is Vogelbach. If you look at his stats next to Vogelbach, there's not much to differentiate.
Mark, did you see the Dave Chappelle monologue on Saturday Night Live?
I saw it on video, yeah.
What'd you think of it?
Chappelle's great, and he's great in the best way possible by telling the truth.
You know what you got in that? You got 15 more enjoyable minutes of SNL than you would have gotten if the writers had been there in the first place.
I think the writers wound up working most of them, from what I'm told.
Oh, they did?
I think so.
Well, good. Then they just didn't write. I'm sure he wrote his own jokes for his own monologue. That's for sure.
No, Chappelle's brilliant. I mean, he's the closest thing we have to Pryor and Carlin and guys like that. And he's very Carlin-esque, more so than Pryor-esque. Because Carlin just used the truth as a bludgeon, but he had a rapier's touch. You know what I mean? Like the sword. He used the baseball bat, used the sword, used it all, but all he used was the truth.
Mark Madden, he will be giving you the truth, bludgeoning you with it from 3 until 6, Monday through Friday on 105.9 The X, and four times a week at Trib Live. Plus, we'll have Madden Benz Unfiltered, 9:30 a.m. on Monday morning.